And we hear our gospel lesson as it comes from the gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, 21 through 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands. That is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there is also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." And then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that is going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. For this is the word of the Lord." Well, pretty much throughout the Gospels, the writers make it clear what Jesus really thought about the Pharisees. There's no really spelling out his personality or to suggest the way that he always walked or talked or the kind of things that made him laugh, but or how he really felt about his friends and families. We have all kinds of hints, but those items are pretty much up to the reader's interpretations. However, there seems little doubt about how Jesus felt when it came to hypocrisy and irrelevance. And thus it is the Pharisees who really come in for his strongest attack. You know, they are the good people who should have known better. They were the keepers of the law. They were the religious folk. They were the leaders of the synagogue. But he tells them, he calls them a brood of vipers, says to them, "How can you speak good when you are so evil?" You see, they had all kinds of rituals and customs which they thought that they were doing better than anyone else. It really allowed them to believe that they were clean in the eyes of God. And all the while they were struggling with the same sins as everyone else. It's okay to have rituals and traditions and customs, but they must never ever become our God. Those things won't save us. Those things won't make us clean. If we want to be clean, we must look not at the work of our hands, but at our hearts. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the good news is, we're all sinners. And I'm glad to see that we're all in it together. It's something we should not forget, nor pretend otherwise. But if we can confess our sins, God is faithful and just and able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is, if we confess our sins. It is the same God who continues to call out to us. And I like the way King James Bible really says it, where they have Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all ye who labor. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come, all of you who are really tired of carrying around your guilt. Come if your hearts are full of hatred and violence. Come, those who have torn up some relationships. Since you don't have to live your lives that way, come, come, and I will give you rest." Recently, I read that we have forgotten the gospel of grace when our sister's or brother's sin bothers us more than our own. And so I really got to thinking about me. You see, the truth is, I really am a part of very much of a privileged class. I'm in that privileged majority of nearly every societal category out of which we operate in America. I am a white, middle-class, heterosexual, Christian male whose mental and physical functioning meets basically society's norms. And every one of those things has a lot to do with why I have always been afforded education and opportunities and advantages, which has really allowed me to be here today. You know, I can drive down the road without the fear of being stopped by a policeman unless I've really done something radically wrong. I can walk into a shopping center and not have security follow me around the store. I don't have to hear any of those derogatory names as the N-word or being called fag or queer. I don't have to worry if I walk into a church whether or not I will be accepted, or whether or not I could find the love of my life and be married in that church. You see, I still don't know and or understand all of the walls and barriers that are in place in so many of our communities. Because you see, I've not had to experience or worry about them because of who I am. So privileged. So privileged. I may consider myself to be a pretty good guy. And yet when I accept all of those rules and all of those rituals and all of those customs and all of those traditions, and I just accept them and not say anything about them, then you see, I also become part of the problem. That is the truth. Truth spoken in love. And yet we can speak the truth, as ugly as it may be, because you see, in Christ we are all dearly loved. God has chosen me and all sinners like me. And because of Christ's saving action, we can still find our worth, you see, in the kingdom of God. I believe that it's really what Mark is telling us in this passage. Rituals will not make us clean. That if we really want to be clean, we must not look to the work of our hands, but what's in our hearts. A cleanliness comes from within. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so Jesus really says to us, come. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And today, on the first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, and when we come to the table, we come, you see, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it. You see, if it was up to us, there would be no place for any one of us here. But we come to the table, you see, because it is a gift. We come because we want to be transformed. Because there is something within us that cries out as we're in the hymn we're going to sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And so we come asking God to take our hearts. Take our hearts, take and seal them. Seal them for the courts above. So here we come. We can come laying it all on the table. And when we hear that invitation, you don't have to wash your hands in advance. You see, it's the dirt. Our dirt, you see, that really makes the celebration holy. For, O gracious and loving God, we come knowing that ritual cleansing cannot touch our hearts. But we know that God can. Create in us clean hearts, O God. And by your Spirit, bring us alive in our belovedness, alive in each other, alive in you, O God. And we pray that God can do that again and again and again, as many times as it takes. So let us rise and join singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.